The culture is shifting in Auburn. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Barnes Social Hour. It's Monday. My name's Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. Graham, the vibes are up in Auburn. The vibes are up. Everyone's happy. There's a culture shift happening. What are your thoughts on everything kind of happening right now? Like, it's kind of crazy to like see. Like, when we were there the other day, I guess it would be a week ago now for practice, just about. To me, it felt like the vibe was up a lot. Like, everyone was, you know, high-fiving, chest bumping. Lots of air was being caught with Golish and Byron Brown and the receivers. Like, it was cool to see. And I thought, it can't get better than that. Well, then Auburn football posted a video this morning, I guess, by the time we're recording this morning.
I think it was yesterday.
Or yesterday? Okay. Well, I reposted it because I thought it was cool just to see. Because we weren't seeing this last year. I'll be honest with you. We were not getting videos like this last year unless I just missed something. But that's just me. But, like, what are your thoughts on this? Like, you think this is, something that'll keep going long term? Or you think this is just something because it's fresh faces and, you know, it's preseason football? Where's your mind at on this?
Yeah. I hope it continues on throughout the season. I mean, and I think it will. I mean, this group seems just to, like, you know, love the game more. Mm-hmm. And just are just happy to and also, you got to think about, like, and a lot of these guys, you know, the guys, especially that came from USF, mm-hmm. like, this is their moment to prove themselves. You know, like, they've been playing in a group of five spot for the last 3 or 4 years, 1 to 2 years, or however old they are, but they're finally getting to be, get to play in the premier level, you know, and a lot of the guys, and there's nothing wrong. Okay. So I want to preface this. What am I saying? The guys that were here last year, there's nothing wrong with them, but a lot of those guys last year were coming from the high school ranks, already being like a top, you know, a big recruit, like a, you know, five-star, four-star, like they're just coming from high school into the SEC. So they don't necessarily understand or like feel what it's like to have to work your way up into this, be in this position of the SEC, you know? Right. And so, for example, like Cam Coleman, he knew he was coming in, he was going to play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, props to him for being that great of an athlete coming out of high school. But these guys coming out from USF are like, look, I had to work to be here and to be in this position. And now I'm playing at the top league in all of college football. I'm going to cherish this and I'm going to, like, you know, be humble because, like, I wasn't given anything. I had to work my way to get here. So I see that as, like, I think the culture here will, you know, continue to be like this. Because these guys, like, love football and they've had to do whatever it takes to get to this level. And so, that's super promising and super exciting to see.
Yeah, I know. And I agree with you too, about like what you were saying about Cam. He knew he was going to be the starter when he got to Auburn. No question about it. He was recruited highly out of high school, freak athlete all throughout high school. It was a no brainer. He was going to be a starter. He was going to be a highly sought after NIL athlete, was paid a lot of money. No problem with that either. The problem that I had with it was we were paying these guys and we weren't getting any production except for maybe a couple highlights, but we'd still lose. And I would rather have a win in the column than a highlight play any day. I don't care how cool it is, how cool the one-handed catches are. He's going to have a lot of them at Texas because he's got Arch Manning throwing to him. So it doesn't matter. But I like, you know, to bounce off what you were saying, they're there to prove themselves. And that's very refreshing to see because I feel like Auburn does better when we have players on the roster that are out to prove people wrong. It's always been like that.
They're like, their whole thing is like, I need to prove to everyone why I deserve to be here. Cause I mean, there were doubts. You heard people, like, you know, when we were getting these USF transfers in the portal, everyone's like, oh, well, these guys are only playing in group of five. No, they're all just from USF. They're not playing anybody. Well, they're coming in like, I hear that, and I'm going to prove to you why I belong here. And and necessarily when we had these other guys coming in, they weren't like, they, in their mind, they're like, I don't have to prove to anybody why I have to be here. I'm a five-star recruit. I deserve to be here. Like, oh, I'm meant to be here. These guys would be like, I'm going to show you why I deserve to be here through their game. And because they had doubters and honestly, like, I think it's better to have doubters than not have doubters. It gives
no,
you
I agree.
For. Yeah. It gives you something to like prove somebody wrong. Like Cam Coleman didn't have to prove anybody wrong. Again, I'm not hating on Cam Coleman whatsoever. He's a phenomenal athlete. But I'm saying he just didn't have to prove anybody wrong. He came in here and was like, I'm good. And everyone knows it. These other guys, like, they know they're good, but they have to win people over. And that's exciting. Because that just makes them work harder.
Yeah, no, I agree. And two, we already have, like, in a way, a little bit of doubters with Byron Brown, even though, and for those.
Yeah, it's already started.
Those
already
at home, started. Coming close, for those coming home. The hitch. The hitch that he had that everyone's complaining about, it didn't throw for 1K. It didn't throw for 2K. It threw for 3,000 yards. 3,000 yards. That hitch you are worried about threw for 3,000 yards. I don't care what conference you're in. That's impressive. If the hitch ain't broken, don't fix it. I'm sorry. I don't care. If that's the way he throws it, he could literally, like we were saying last week, he could volley it off of his head like Lionel Messi, okay, in the MLS, and it go for a completion, and I would be happy. I don't care, as long as he's completing passes. And if that's the way that he does it, so what? I don't care. And that's another thing. There's going to be doubters going into the season because of that one clip. That's what's so crazy. That's how it, no one really cared about it until he put on an Auburn uniform. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm not. But that just seems to be the case. But like we were saying at the top of the show, the vibes are up. And there's a clip for those that are watching. We have the clip here for those listening. It's on Auburn's social media that was posted yesterday.
It's a POV, basically, from Byron's point of view.
Yes, it was a they.
He's got a GoPro mounted to his camera, and like that's not an Auburn thing. That is like a college sports thing. That's like so that, you know, after practice they can view the GoPro footage and you know analyze the decisions Byron is making in practice. Like that's not just for this video. That's not an Auburn thing. That's just a universal football thing.
And it's really cool to see that point of view, especially for watching film. But this is just candids that they caught before practice. I guess they had just got out there, I'm assuming, based off what the clip starts out as. But this we have the clip here. For those at home, you know, you can find it. But you'll be able to hear what's going on, just how excited everyone is.
Have a great day today, bro.
Elite day.
Elite day.
Yeah, elite day.
That's what I like
to do.
Let's do
elite
it.
Day,
let's do it.
J-Money! Have a day, have a day. Hey, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. D-line.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What makes it even better is that they're playing Run This Town by Jay-Z and Rihanna in the background too. It just makes my day. Makes my day. For those that I was gonna say that song brings back so much nostalgia because the first time I heard it, it's kind of nerdy, heard it in 2K13. That was when I first got into the 2K series. That's how I found out about that song. I was a shelter.
You know what soundtracks slap? All the FIFA soundtracks.
They don't miss. That
they
is correct.
They did not. FIFA 12 and 13.
Oh, Graham. Let's just hit the nostalgia funny bone. Why don't we? My goodness gracious. It's Monday.
But anyway, what I want to say about that video, what I love about that video.
The vibes are not just up on the social hour. They're up here. They're up on the social hour too. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
But yeah, what I love about something I noticed on this video is the interaction between the offense and the defense as well, or at least Byron and the defense. Like, I feel like last year and some previous years under the previous regime, or regime, that's not a good word for it, but the previous administration, I feel like the offense and defense didn't interact as much as I feel like they are now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, and no disrespect, but I feel like Jackson Arnold wasn't going and hyping up the defense or any of the quarterbacks, or Deuce Knight or Ashton Daniels. I could see him doing it more.
I could,
Or Peyton Thorne. I don't see any of those guys really going and, like, you know, being, Like, it just this team feels so much more like a complete full team.
Yeah.
In a sense of like they all love each other. They all know that they're part of the same team. They all got to work together. Like, this is not a one man band. This is a group effort, you know? And I feel like last year, and we kind of just saw the divide. The only one really bringing it together was, I felt like, Keldrick Falk. He was the one trying to bridge the gap between the defense and the offense. Because last year both sides seemed so polarized, you know, because the defense was always balling out in the field. Then the offense would come on the field and absolutely crap in the bed. And then the defense would be right back out there. And I'm sure that if I play the defense, I'm like, I'm mad. I'm like, this sucks. Like, we're always on the field. We're having to fight to try to win these games. Our offense can't score any points. So I'm sure there was a divide.
Not to mention those early season games. It was so hot. we couldn't do anything with offense. They're out there.
From this, I really like the intensity of Byram. I like how he's, you know, talking to the defensive line. There's somebody else he was talking to. I mean, he had just the energy he brings. Now, I was thinking in my head, I almost commented on that first. The energy is infectious, you know?
It is.
Byram's having that energy at the top, and he's like the number one leader on the team, or at least on the offense. If he has that type of energy, that's just going to spread out throughout the whole team. Everyone's going to like, oh, Byram's feeling it today. Let's go. I'm feeling it. And it's just going to trickle down the line, and the whole team is going to just be like, you know, joyful and happy and ready to get after it and ready to get to work. So that's super, super, super exciting.
Yeah, I almost chest bumped Zach Blackerby at the last practice we got to go to because it was that infectious. I mean, literally, I was like, dude, let's do it. Let's get it over with.
Yeah, you can definitely tell Byram loves football. You can tell he just loves it.
And I agree with what you were saying about last year, and we've mentioned it before, but it was no secret that if you watched any of the Auburn football games last year and they showed the sideline, they would show the offense, they would show the defense. It looked like two totally different football teams on the sideline. Same sideline, two different teams. Energy was up on the defensive side because they were killing it. They were literally the top. They were the third defense in the country as far as defensive rating under Ohio State and Indiana, who, by the way, Indiana was the national champ. I'm just letting you know. In case you forgot, this is not a dream. Indiana did win the national championship this year in football this past season. And then the offense looked like they were attending a funeral every game. I don't care who, Cam Coleman included, Eric Singleton included, Malcolm Simmons included. It was just how it was. And it is refreshing to see like everyone feeling like, yeah, this is a new day in Auburn football. It really is. It's very refreshing to see it. And it's cool. And I'm hoping that the vibe keeps going, especially once the season starts and we rack off some wins to start off the year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, that being said, you know what else is fun?
Roback.
That's exactly what's fun. Go to roback.com, use code BARN20. You can get the hoodie like you see on your screen. Even though we're kind of phasing out of the hoodie season, it is useful at night on those nights where there's a little bit of a breeze. I have the navy one, so does Graham. They also have some cool polos, including, I think, some new officially licensed Auburn gear as well, and other colleges that you might be interested in. But if it's Auburn, the more the better. Use code BARN20 again at roback.com to get 20% off your order. We're very thankful for Roback and their partnership with the Barn and the Barn Social Hour. We appreciate you guys dearly.
Graham, it's amazing outside. I just want to say that. Like,
today,
if you live in the South, if you live in, you know, the state of Alabama, the weather outside the last couple of days has been beautiful.
It has ever since that storm.
Amazing. Ever since we got that snow.
Yeah, the snow in the middle.
Literally a week and a half ago, we got snow.
It was 80 degrees yesterday.
It was 80 degrees yesterday. Yeah. Everything's starting to bloom. The trees are starting to grow their leaves. I'm like, it just snowed a week and a half ago. And now we are feeling great. It's crazy.
I cannot believe. Can we real quick, and then we'll get back to sports on here. The weather, with that snow caught me so off guard when I woke up the next morning because it was hot the day before. We had just watched the selection show, Selection Sunday for March Madness. Yeah, that afternoon, we were in shorts and short sleeve t-shirts like the one I'm wearing now. And I went to bed, severe weather, was up most of the night watching James Spann. Apparently there was a duck trying to take a bath outside of a camper that had gotten blown away. And they're like, is that a duck? I believe it is a duck. Like, you just, it was a very interesting night. I wake up thinking, well, it's going to be hot again because it was 80 degrees the day before.
Well, I knew it was going to be cold because it was a cold front moving through. I just wasn't expecting.
I didn't think it was going to be like that.
Snow.
I walked out my garage and went my car because I had to go to my parents' place the next day. And I opened that garage door. I am barefoot with shorts on and a shirt. And I was like, nope. And I pitter-battered back in my house, my bare feet in my garage floor. Going back in there, I'm like, I need some pants on is what I need. I need some jeans or joggers. I don't care what, just something longer than shorts. I was in disbelief. I could not believe it. And then for those that saw my TikTok, I was like, we've got pump fake by spring. Literally, it was like, you want heat? Nope, we're going to give you snow.
Hopefully it's here now to stay. Hopefully we are.
Same.
We're almost in April. Hopefully we don't have any more cold spikes.
If we can just get past this pollen, because I cannot. Everyone's like, you don't like the spring? Spring's the best time here.
I literally went and got my car washed yesterday.
Oh, it don't matter.
I was looking at my window today at my car, and it's just, there's a coating of yellow on top of it. I was like, are you kidding me?
You could go. I'm not even kidding, Grim. You could literally go get your car washed, and
on your drive home, it would be yellow.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You just might as well just like chalk it for the month of not getting a car wash, to be honest.
But it needed to be washed. And I also like deep cleaned the inside. Like I vacuumed.
Okay. Everything, so. That's fair. I got to do that after we get done. The deep clean part, not the car wash. I have a cracked windshield. So I get turned away at every car wash I go to. They're like, oh, you got a cracked windshield? Can't go in here. I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, it's just going to break it. I'm like, put a sign.
I didn't know that.
Every car wash I've been to and around my place, just
I have chips in mine. I have chips in mine, but like nothing. No, it's not like crack. It's not like a.
Apparently, if it's like a crack longer than a ruler, they can't do because it. Like,
is your crack longer than a ruler?
Yep.
Pause.
That's crazy. That's crazy. This is a family show, Graham. Holy cow! That's wild. Holy moly. But yeah, back to sports. We had a basketball game last night. I went to NIT against Seattle U. Great game. Our freshman stood out. Sway had a coming out party. Literally, the dude was popping off. It was almost like a mirror play. It was like three plays in a row. He had like the same dunk. I felt like it was like right under the basket.
Yeah, I don't know. I only got to watch like the last 8 minutes of the game, so I didn't get.
Oh,
to
really? See it. It was a great game. Keyshawn Hall struggled a little bit. Tahad struggled a little bit from three per usual. Yeah, I know. But the freshman stood out. Overton. I cannot emphasize this enough, and it was mentioned in our group text. Overton needs to be the priority in the offseason. You give him a good point guard. Shout out Brett. I'm going to, you know, quote Brett here. He said, if you get Overton a decent point guard, he could have potential to be Miles Kelly level good shooting next year. And yeah. I agree. I think it would be devastating if we can get a point guard, then turn him into a pure shooting guard where he can just be off ball, coming off screens, elevator screens, boom, pick, pop, boom, three, next possession. That would be disgusting if we can get him back. So we'll see.
I know Freeman also had a good game too.
Freeman had a great game. He did. He needs to be another priority.
Multiple alley-oops. Well, multiple alley-oops. Yes.
There was one.
I always loved seeing alley-oops this year compared to like last year. It was like every game we saw multiple with Dylan, yeah, which I loved.
The Dylan's just a lob machine. You can literally throw it anywhere and he's going to go get it.
Speaking of Dylan, did you see Dylan and Chaney swap jerseys?
Yes, I did. I sent that to some friends of ours and was like, dude, this is cool to see. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm glad Chaney's getting his shot and he's making the most of it. Dylan has made the most of his shot. He got signed to the Kings for the rest of the season, I believe. But I think if he keeps playing like he's playing, they'll restructure it and maybe
Chaney's got a chance too.
Yeah,
I mean,
popping off too.
I joined his live probably about a week and a half before he. He was live on TikTok, and I just hopped in there for a minute because I came across it. And it was probably about a week and a half before he signed his or before he got his, you know, first points in the NBA. And I was like, I just kind of asked him like how he was doing. He's like, I'm just trying to make it in the league, man. I was like, you're going to do it. And literally a week and a half later.
That's sick.
And now he's playing with the Nets.
That's sick. Yeah, and the Nets too.
Because he's like been bouncing around G Leagues all since, you know, all of the end of last year. Like he's played probably on three or four different G League teams this year alone. Like
he's with the Cavs at one point. I know
he's
that.
He's with the Cavs. He's been with like multiple. I can't remember all of them, but I know it's been multiple.
Yeah. I'm happy for him. I'm happy like any player from obviously any Auburn player, but the team from last year has a special place in my heart, as well as every Auburn fan. I mean, you watched them grow up, for God's sakes. I mean, you feel like you're a part of their family for
heck. I was in college with them. Like, that's so cool to me. Like, the fact, like,
classmates. Yeah.
Yeah. They're students with me.
And I especially Dylan. Like, I know Dylan from, I don't know him like super, super well. Like, we're not super close or anything, but I know him from church when I was still living in Auburn. Cool dude off the court. And, what you're seeing on the court, you know, whether it be in an Auburn uniform or a Kings uniform, that's the Dylan that exists off the court. He's great, a great guy. Couldn't be happening to a better person. So I'm very, very happy for Dylan Cardwell and Chaney that they got the opportunity to do that last night. That was really cool to see. Outside of Auburn basketball, the March Madness tournament is going on. The Sweet 16 is set. Graham, how's your bracket?
How about that Nebraska? How about that Nebraska Vanderbilt ending,
dude?
I thought that ball was going to go in.
Dude, that thing was in the rim, and it went... Yeah.
And people were blaming it on how... Because have you seen the thing how the balls were, like, really overinflated? Like, really? People are blaming it on that. Like, and I mean, I see it. Like, if that ball was not as inflated as it is, I think that ball goes in. I mean, that literally went in the rim and bounced out.
People are
so crazy.
People are quick to blame balls on everything, man. It's crazy. Dude, how's your bracket holding up outside of
It's kind of struggled actually a little bit. It fell off. It started off really good. I was in like the top 179,000 brackets out of like 27 million, but now I'm at 4.5 mil.
Yeah, our
83.5 percentile.
Oh, that's not okay. Well, that's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, in your dad's group, in your dad's, you know, Bubba on the Lake one, I'm 147th place.
I am, let me see.
157.
Yeah, I'm around that too, according to this. What's crazy is at one point in my dad's group, we had a dead tie for first. It was like a five-way tie for first, and now it's currently a two-way tie. And the guy that won it last year is not too far behind. He's in the massive like five-way tie for eighth place right now. So it's crazy to see that, and it's cool to see, you know, be a part of a group like that. But I have one bracket that's in that group. It's 83.5% right now. My best one is currently at 98.4. I picked Iowa to beat Florida. Nice. And I picked Nebraska to beat Vandy. And the Sweet 16 is just going to be electric. There's nowhere else to put it. I'm jealous because my sister lives in Washington, D.C., and if I were in her position in DC, I would be trying to get tickets to those games. Do what?
Is it Sweet 16 in DC?
One of the regions, yeah. There's a, I think it's, I want to say it's Duke, St. John's, Michigan State, and UConn, which is like, that's a great little bubble right there.
Yeah.
That's legendary coaches, legendary programs of the, just the sport in general. Really cool to see that. The one that I am looking forward to the most, or actually two, St. John's and Duke. That's going to be a great matchup. I just think it's going to be cinema. I really do. And then Iowa and Nebraska. A friend of ours is coining it Cornmageddon. I think it is going to be a really good game because it's a rivalry game. Didn't know this. I don't keep up with Big Ten stuff that much. I'm more SEC oriented, but I'm trying to expand my horizons since I've kind of dipped my toe into this field, as are you, with the show. So it's, you know, it's been a fun tournament. I don't know why people are hating on it. There's been several buzzer beaters. I think to me personally, the game that was the most intense was probably the Santa Clara Kentucky game.
100%.
Insane.
Not even close.
Insane back to back shots. before the buzzer, and then Owe hitting that buzzer beater, and Kentucky ended up coming out on top, and then not being able.
I knew if that game went into overtime, Kentucky was going to win. They had to win. What was the other team?
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara had to win that game outright in before overtime to win. Like if they had hit that shot and then Kentucky missed for them to win, I knew for a fact they weren't going to win in overtime.
Yeah, they had a freshman that was trying to shoot over a 7-footer, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like it was like three possessions row. He's like, yeah, I'm going to pop this three in your face. And he's like, oh, wait, you're a mountain? Nah. Like, I forgot.
And then obviously Florida fell last night.
Yeah. How about that? Todd Golden and their Iowa's coach getting in a little tiff. And then there was a supposed threat, which there was. There was no if and but about it. A supposed thrown punch on a not between Golden and let's not get it twisted here. But I don't know if you saw the highlight where there was a loose ball and a Florida guy and an Iowa guy were going for it. And it looked like he tried to punch the ball out, but he almost hit the Florida guy. It could have been bad. I think if that would have happened, I think Todd Golden would have gone Bruce Lee on the whole state of Iowa. I really do. That he would have taken him and that guy that looked like the Incredible Hulk in the Florida fan section. You see that guy?
Dude, yeah.
That was crazy. My God. He's like a combination of The Rock and Vin Diesel. It's like a hybrid. It was crazy to watch. But yeah, this tournament's been great so far. The St. John's game, the buzzer beater, which is funny. Me and a buddy of mine, you met Rob Barentine, a.k.a. Soul Train. If you know, you know. We were at the game.
I don't know.
You don't know? That was his nickname in high school, Soul Train, when he played football. I think I'm getting that story right. That's the gist. But anyway, I had the game on my phone, and they were 30 seconds ahead on my phone before they put up on the Jumbotron in the in the arena, and we reacted to the buzzer beater as it happened. And me and Rob were like, oh, blah, blah, you know, and everyone's like looking around like, what? And then they throw it up on the Jumbotron and play the final seconds. And I was honestly surprised by the reaction between Tahad and Keyshawn Hall. You would have thought both of them put money on this game. Not saying they have, not saying they did. NCAA.
They celebrate.
They were celebrating like they had just won the game, like they were a part of St. John's. I was like, y'all actually are reacting with each other in a positive way. I am shocked. I am shocked. Like, is hell frozen over? Like, what's going on here? But yeah, overall, great sports weekend. We got some more games coming up.
Auburn didn't win the series.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
One Friday night, and then Saturday almost came back and won. Mm-hmm. And Sunday night, they just did. They left so many people on base. It's not even funny.
I mean, Texas is a good team, and that Friday night win was electric. There's nowhere else to put it. Considering the guy from Texas was taunting the crowd.
Dude was unreal.
Yeah.
He hit three home runs in the series, almost had four. It hit off the top of the wall. I mean, like the very tippy top of the wall and bounced back in. But for having that missed, through the legs, he's made up for it.
He made up for it, yeah. Which is, in pure Auburn fashion, expected. But that night when it happened, it couldn't have been more funny and poetic that he was shushing the crowd, taunting the student section, and then turned around and absolutely flubs the game up. It was just really funny to see. So, but yeah, great sports weekend. We got another great sports weekend. I think Major League Baseball starts soon, like you were saying.
It's Wednesday night. Wednesday night is the first game, and then I think Thursday is the first full day of games.
Chop on, baby. This is our year. We're back. The Braves are back. Chop on, baby. Chop the frick on. Let's go. Put a chop on in the chat or the comments if you're just feeling it like I am right now. But Sweet 16 picks back up Thursday night. And it's kind of like you were saying, it's weird not having anything to watch, like sports.
There's no sports on today. There's literally none.
I don't know what to do with myself right now. It's like having withdrawals. I don't know. But yeah, other than that, it's been cool to see the positive vibes and the culture shift happening with football. And basketball going on a little run in the NIT is very much appreciated. I believe we play again Wednesday night at 8, which is
Wednesday night at 8 o'clock.
You all right? If I can, I just get this out there real quick. We're run out of time here, but I would just like to say, whoever is in charge of scheduling the NCAA tournament and the NIT, you have done an absolutely astronomically horrible job at scheduling these games. Alabama tipped off last night at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. I had a friend of mine who did coverage for that game in Tampa, I believe is where their region is, where Bama is.
And so it was 10 o'clock for them.
Yeah, it crazy that they didn't get out. Like, he was like doing cover and everything. He didn't leave the arena until 2 this morning.
The only thing about that is it's hard to schedule those like March Madness games because multiple teams play on that court. So like they can't start the game until the other game's done, and then they have to have time to warm up and let all the teams warm up, then they can start. So like if the game before them, which I can't remember exactly which game it was, but if it goes over or long, there's just nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just,
but NIT is different. I mean, it's just all, I mean,
I wish
Auburn, like,
yeah, I wish that the NIT games, like the, for example, the Auburn game yesterday during the St. John's game, right? It was a 5 p.m. tip, so there was a better crowd there. I will say it was a way better crowd than when we went, like 10 times astronomically better. Even Daryl can attest to that. He was there, and I was able to find him on Media Row last night. It made me laugh. You would think they would schedule the NIT games when there's not games happening. You know what I mean? Like, you would think, like, hey, this isn't happening right now. Let's just do, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, as far as, like, I guess scheduling goes for the games. Yeah. Like, when the Sweet 16 is happening, hey, let's play some NIT. Who, you know what I mean? And then I was looking at the bracket. Both the NIT and March Madness, the Final Fours are both in Indianapolis.
Just different. I did see that. I've never seen that before.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. But with that being said, Graham, do you have anything else? I don't have any. I think we've hit everything. But again, happy Monday, everybody. As always, like and subscribe. We have great podcasts on here, like the Top Button Podcast, Charlie 5. Village Vice with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law, and the College Baseball Show with Lindsey Crosby, Sonny DeShera, Brad Law. Occasionally, Sonny DeShera. But a lot going on here, including the show, the Social Hour with me, Hunter Bussey, and Graham McClain. But like and subscribe. We're your spot, your number one spot for Auburn shows. I mean, we got it all right here for you. There's nowhere else to go but here. We enjoy getting to do this, and it's been a blessing to get to do this, and it was really fun getting to cover practice, and I hope we get to do that again real soon. So, but with that being said, as always, War Damn, and we will see you next time.
Goodbye.